Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
In person, or if you're joining us online, it is great to be worshiping with you this day. At Brighton and Whitmore Lake, First United Methodist Church, we seek to know God and love God and serve God in all that we do. And so we're so glad that you're here this day as one way for us to grow in our knowledge and our love and our service towards God together. This day, as you walked into worship, perhaps you came into our hospitality table. Maybe you had an opportunity to get a name tag, which Pastor John and I are thank you for wearing those name tags that help us to get to know you better. And as you signed in, you might have also seen these small little communion cups. Later in worship today, we're going to be celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion. So if you didn't have an opportunity to receive one of those communion cups, I would invite you to make your way back to the table, perhaps during this opening worship song, to get a communion cup. We'll have more on how to use those later in worship. We're so glad that you're here, and if you didn't have a chance to sign in your attendance there, you can do so online. If you visit our website at brightonfumc.org and click on our worship page, there's our connection card, and you can connect and register your attendance in that way. Well, again, welcome to worship this day. We are so glad that you're here. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What a great way to get started this morning. It is okay to sing the lyrics in your head. Would you please join me for the opening prayer? Loving God, we come to you this morning with praise and thanksgiving. Open our minds to what you have to teach us. Open our hearts to your love, and enable us to love you in a new and more profound way. Open our spirit to the joy that can be found in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today's Bible reading comes from Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fat. going on? He replied, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has gotten him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when his son of yours comes back, he who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, friends. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words in my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who forgives us when we go astray. Amen. Well, I thought it would be fun this morning to sort of tell this story in a different way. Many of you have probably heard the story of the prodigal son. It's one of my favorite Bible stories. It's a story about grace and forgiveness and what it looks like to have to ask for that after you've gone astray, after you've wandered a little bit. So once upon a time, there was this father who had two sons. And this father was a small business owner and had worked his entire life to build up a fair amount of wealth. He was excited to be able to share that with his son. Every day when he went to work, he would look for opportunities to take on additional jobs so that he could put a little money away for his kids to go to college. Now, his older son came to him one day as he was about to graduate from Brighton High School, go Bulldogs. And he looked his father in the eye and he made eye contact with him and he said, you know, Dad, I've been accepted at all these different schools, University of Michigan, Michigan State, Hope, Elma, everywhere. I got accepted everywhere I applied. I've worked all the way through high school. Throughout the entire time, I've been willing to work at your business. But Dad, I don't want to go away to school. I don't want to take money to live in a dorm room when I can just live at home, when I can be here with you and I can help with the family business. And it turns out that the older son was also accepted to Baker College. Tuition, $8,340 a year. For those of you who have paid or are paying tuition, can I get an amen? Amen. So he's looking his dad in the eye and he says, I'm going to stay at home. I'm not going anywhere to school. I'll keep helping you with your family business. Everything will be fine. Use me however you want to use me. I'll keep working. I'll keep putting my nose to the grindstone and I'll do everything you ask, anything you ask, Dad. I know how hard you and Mom have been working to provide everything I've ever wanted and everything I could ever want. It's right here. I don't need to go anywhere else. He was satisfied. He was happy. And so he did exactly that. He took classes at night and worked his entire way through college at his dad's business. But the older brother had a younger brother. And the younger brother never applied himself in high school. Most of his attendance records were not strong, and he was a solid C average student. He barely got accepted anywhere he applied. And he was one night on Google looking up the funnest places to go to college. And then he came across this spot. He was looking at schools in Miami and in Texas and in California, which kind of feels like a different country sometimes. And he saw a wonderful advertisement for Harvey Mudd College. Now, if you don't know anything about Harvey Mudd College, if you Google it, you will find that it is the college with the most expensive tuition in the United States of America. $79,000 a year in tuition. But what the younger brother discovered that evening as he was Googling the funnest places to go to school was that Harvey Mudd College is in Southern California, 15 minutes from the Pacific Ocean. Beaches, sunshine, L.A. He was excited to go to school there. He could hardly wait. So one night at dinner, he sat down with his mom and dad and brother, and he looked them in the eye and he said, "Hey, I want to go to college." And his mom and dad could barely pick their jawbone up off the floor. They were excited. This younger son wasn't on a track record to go to college. Nobody thought he would ever get there. So as soon as the word college came out of his mouth, the father was sold. "Sure, son. Where do you want to go?" "Harvey Mudd College." "Tell us, what do you want to study?" And he said, "Heismatology." Immediately, the older brother rolled his eyes, knowing that the study of heismatology was the study of the sun. Of course, the younger brother just wanted to observe the sun rays from a beach in Southern California. But sure enough, the father and the mother were excited to send their child to college. So later that night, the mom, being the fiscally responsible one, goes online to research this wonderful education institution of higher learning in Southern California, and she comes across the tuition at the school. $58,000 a year for tuition. I'm sorry if this is your alma mater, by the way. $8,445 for board with 16 meals a week, a student body fee, whatever that is, for $301 a year, and personal expenses, $1,400, books and supplies, $800 for an average cost of annual fees of $79,539. Woo! She almost had her first heart attack that night. She went and woke up her husband. "What are we going to do, honey? We can't afford that." Well, sure enough, the father discovered that you can take out a loan against a life insurance policy if you have a whole life insurance policy plan. So the next morning, he was on the phone with his agent. "What can I do to borrow some money so my son can go to school?" He also put a refinance on his mortgage so that he could send his son to college. Cash in hand, he looked at his son as he was about to depart for school that year, and he said, "My son, everything that I have is yours." And because he had borrowed against the principal of his life insurance policy, there was a little piece in the back of his mind that was almost like his son was wishing for him to be dead. "Dad, can I have my share of the inheritance? Can I have a little bit of the property value of your home?" In addition to that, the son said, "Dad, I need some spending money. I mean, how am I going to go to Southern California with this beater car of mine? Instead of just 1 year of tuition, would you mind giving me all four? I don't know if I'm coming back. As soon as I get to Southern California, I'll get a job, hopefully in the tech industry. I'll work for Apple or Facebook or Microsoft someday." So sure enough, the dad handed him 4 years' worth of tuition in check form, $320,000, and before the younger son could even have an opportunity to give his mom and dad a hug goodbye, he was gone. Cash in hand, living high above the world. He didn't even get out of the state of Michigan before he stopped at a new car dealership to buy a new car. He left his old beater behind, and there he went. 2 full days of driving to Southern California, 16 hours a day, he could hardly wait. He arrived on campus just a couple of days before freshman orientation. He showed up, paid his room and board bills, $80,000, gone. He never made it to freshman orientation. That night, he met some friends. They were invited to a beach party, and there, the younger brother spent the vast majority of the first semester, not a single class attended. Parties, drugs, sex, alcohol, everything you can imagine. This kid was living the high life, or so he thought. Sure enough, the drugs got addictive, and he kept paying out of pocket every time for those resources, and he kept using, and sure enough, as we moved through the first semester, the college kept reaching out, are you ever going to show up for class? Are you ever coming in? Are we going to kick you out of the dorm? We need you to come in and talk to a student resources advisor. And the son never showed up. He kept going to the beach over and over and over and over and over and over again. And finally, the college came to him and said, you know, we've got one more fee we need to collect from you. We have one more month's rent at the end of the first year. And all the while, this son had been posting pictures on Facebook and Instagram, constantly being tagged. And back home, the older brother would see across his Facebook page all these pictures of his younger brother partying and enjoying himself in Southern California. This entire time, he's been working for his dad, doing everything he could to help the family business back at home, knowing that his tuition was one-tenth the cost of his younger brother's tuition. Sure enough, as that last bill came, the younger brother went to an ATM in Southern California, put the debit card in there like he had done thousands of times before during the course of the first year, and he finally got the wake-up call that he so desperately needed. Insufficient funds, the ATM machine said. He pulled the card out of the ATM, and reality hit him. He had spent the entire gift that his parents had worked their entire lives to accumulate. Have you ever been there? Have you ever screwed up so bad that you have no idea who you're going to turn to or what you're going to say to justify it? Have you ever had a moment where you've gone to an ATM machine and you've put your card in and it said insufficient funds and you were scared to death about where the next dollar or meal was going to come from? That was where this younger brother was in that moment. In that moment, all communications with his family stopped because he was so ashamed of what he had done, squandering $320,000. Started thinking about what he would do, and he decided that he would just run away, disappear into the sunset, somehow live off the fat of the land, doing whatever he could, stealing food from farms. He just tried to get by, and one night while he was laying there under the stars, shivering, a thought came to him. Life was so much better at home. If I go back and apologize to my parents, maybe they would accept me back. Maybe my dad would put me to work, and for the rest of my life I can work for him, and if I never earn another penny in my life, at least I could go back and live half as good or half much better than I am right now. So sure enough, he started hitchhiking home. He caught a ride and then would walk for a little bit and caught another ride and walked for a little bit, caught another ride and made his way back east. Finally, he got to the Michigan border. And it was then that it hit him that he was going to have to apologize to his parents. As he saw that "Welcome to Michigan" sign, he couldn't help but rehearse in his mind over and over and over and over and over and over again what he was going to say to his dad. I'm so sorry. Wasn't going to cut it. He wondered if he would be disowned. All the while, his parents were back home worrying about him, concerned about him, wondering if he had died. They hadn't heard from him in months. They filed a missing persons report. Everybody got a text message with an Amber Alert, but there was no sign of this younger son. But here he was, coming across 94, then up 23, and he came into Brighton, and he kept rehearsing in his mind what he would say to his dad, assuming that his dad and his mom were never going to forgive him. And sure enough, as he rounded the corner into his neighborhood and pulled up into his parents' house and in the driveway, he could barely make out a silhouette in the window of his home, of his parents sitting there, watching, waiting, praying for some news of their son. Maybe you know what it's like to be that parent, knowing that your child is drifting and estranged and disconnected, and there's been some breakdown of that relationship. Maybe you've sat there in the father's home, watching your driveway, hoping that someday your child will come home. Maybe you know what it's like to wait for a return phone call or a letter from somebody in your life that you care about. Somebody whose relationship with you has been broken. But sure enough, as he sees that silhouette, all of a sudden, his father moved from that location and comes running to the door. And all of a sudden, the younger brother looks at the father as he busts outside the door and comes running down the driveway, knowing that the person who is approaching the house could only be one person. The younger brother looks at his dad, and tears are streaming down his face. Instead of meeting him with a closed fist, as maybe you can imagine some of us doing, the father's arms are open wide, ready to embrace his son. If there's ever been somebody that you've missed, and I imagine in the last 6 months, this has probably been real for us in ways that we never imagined experiencing in 2020. That incredible gift of seeing somebody who can't wait to see you at the end of the driveway with their arms open wide in an airport terminal with their arms open wide, the excitement and joy of reconciliation and the restoration of relationships. And the father embraces the son as he hadn't done in over a year, and said, my son, it is so good to see you. We thought we had lost you. We thought we would never see you again. And all of the lines that the son had been rehearsing in his mind over and over again drifted out of his thought. He was home. That which was broken was restored. Sure enough, plans are made for a massive feast. They decide to have a wonderful banquet under a tent in the backyard. More resources are spent to cover the cost of welcoming this wayward son home. And the older brother hears of this. This Baker College graduate, heir apparent to the business that his father had started. He hears of this wonderful feast that's been spread for the younger brother. And he's ticked. And if we're honest, we would be too. What kind of a story is this anyway? This son goes out to college. He spends all the money on drugs and every single vice that you can possibly imagine. And he's home? And he's celebrated and embraced warmly? What kind of a story is this anyway? Maybe you can relate to the older brother in some ways. If somebody else has got a benefit that you think that you deserve, some sort of gift that you thought you had coming your way. If you've worked hard your entire life and somebody else gets ahead, you know exactly what this older brother is feeling. Anger, resentment, frustration. He's looking at his brother and in his mind all of the Facebook and Instagram photos that he's seen over the course of the last year are at the front of his mind. How does this guy get a banquet? Why don't I ever get rewarded for doing the responsible things? This guy doesn't deserve this. And sure enough, this father goes and embraces his older son in a conversation, and he said, my son, all that I have is yours. I mean, what a dad. Not only there for his younger son, giving him everything that he needed. Maybe the rope that he extended was too long, but sure enough, that is the way that God interacts with us all of the time. Giving you just enough rope, but just enough freedom that you can make your own decisions, good, bad, or indifferent. But God's always standing there at the end of the driveway with God's arms open wide. This is the last week of a sermon series about what it means to be a good neighbor. And neighbors are all about relationships, connecting with people, helping each other out when you need something. We've been thinking about Fred Rogers and his incredible gift of being able to welcome people into his space, being filled with hospitality and grace and welcome. Fred Rogers was also really good at forgiving people, at letting the past be the past and letting things go. And my question for you this morning, is there anybody in your life that you need to meet at the end of your driveway? That you need to pick up the phone and call? Is there anybody in your life that you need to be reconciled with? Is there anybody in your life that you need to forgive? Maybe it's a neighbor because they never put weed and feed down on their grass, and the dandelions keep creeping over. Maybe they never rake their leaves in the fall, and every single year this massive wind comes and brings them all over into your freshly manicured lawn. Maybe it's your coworker who got a promotion that you've never forgiven because you show up before they do and leave after they do. Maybe it's a brother or sister that you haven't quite fully forgiven for something, some wrong that they've done towards you. Maybe it's a parent who didn't treat you the right way growing up. This story about forgiving people, about giving folks a second chance, about looking them in the eye and saying, "It is so good to see you again." It's an opportunity for all of us to restore the broken relationships in our life. It's an opportunity to remember the grace that is offered to us by Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity for us to practice all of our lines that we'll have for God at the end of our life, looking God straight in the face, saying, "I'm sorry, I know when I was 13 or 15 or 18 or 25 or 65, when I did A, B, C, D, E, and F." It's an opportunity for us to remember that at the end of our life, God is waiting at the end of the driveway of heaven saying, "Say no more about it. I'm here for you. I always have been, and I always will be." Thanks be to God for this incredible story of grace. None of us fully deserve it. The younger brother did not deserve what he got. The older brother didn't necessarily deserve what he got. The Father extended grace that probably went beyond any of our understanding or comprehension. Except for this. When I look my 4-year-old and 2-year-old in the eye, and I know that they've done something that they know and I know is wrong, it never interrupts the love that I have for them. And I think it's like that with God. So my challenge to you is this. At some point in the next week, if there's anybody in your life that you have to call, may you meet them at the end of your driveway with your arms open wide. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we're so thankful for this mystery of grace. At times we don't understand it, we can't comprehend it, and we fail sometimes to extend it. And yet we receive it over and over and over again. We celebrate this mysterious gift in our life. And as we receive it, we pray that we would have the courage and strength to extend it to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, just clapping is welcome. You know, you're welcome to share your appreciation for those who are leading us in worship. Forgive this brief moment of levity, but when I was in seminary, they told me two things in my church leadership class. One was, don't cross the UMW. And the second one, which is probably equally important, is don't change how your church does communion when you arrive there. And hopefully we haven't done the first one. Maybe we have, as we've acclimated to our new church. But the first time we served communion was on our first Sunday, and maybe you received communion at home in the form of a love feast, which may have been is different than the way that we normally do communion. And this time, if you were accustomed to intinction, when you come forward and take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup, this is going to feel a little weird. So we know this is a season of change, but hopefully as you came in, you received a cup and a wafer. There's a wafer on top of the cup. And in a moment, we'll have an opportunity to receive those elements together. When I remember communion, I think about Jesus presiding over this table with people who, maybe by today's standards, didn't deserve to be there. It was filled with doubt and questions. And one of my favorite parts about the communion story is that even in the presence of Jesus Christ, Jesus' followers were asking him who the greatest disciple was. They were fighting at the dinner table of the Last Supper. There was a disagreement. Then there was another disagreement. Which one of us is going to betray you, Jesus? Which one of us is going to let you down? Which one of us is going to sell you out? Which one of us is going to deny ever knowing you? And if we're honest, most of us have probably done all of those things in some way in our own life. And yet this table is for all of us. It's not a United Methodist table. It's not a Brighton First United Methodist table. It's God's table, which means that everybody is welcome. Whether you've squandered your inheritance or not. Whether you're judgmental with your arms crossed, looking at somebody else, wondering how they're deserving of grace or not. And so 2,000 years ago, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he gave thanks for it. And he broke it and he shared it with his disciples. And he said, take it and eat it as often as you can in remembrance of me. And so we take this loaf and we remember that we're united as the body of Christ. And we give thanks for it as we break it. And later on in that evening, he took and he said, this is my blood. Take it and drink it as often as you can in remembrance of me, so that you might remember that you are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving God, may you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and of the cup. May they be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the world Christ's hands and feet and presence and sign of grace and love. Until Christ comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Church, we come to this table knowing it is the bread of life and the cup of grace offered for us. As you receive the communion elements, as you look at the cup, there is a small, very thin layer of plastic. I would invite you to peel off that first very thin layer of plastic to receive the bread of life, the wafer. O holy God, for your love that never ends, we give you thanks. For the grace that you share to us each and every day, even when we have gone astray, we give you thanks. For this bread and this this cup that sustains us and empowers us and encourages us to go forward as your faithful disciples, we give you thanks this day. In Christ's holy name, amen.
God is good. Join me in attitude of prayer as we go to the Lord with our prayers and concerns in this time of prayer. Stabilize our communities. Unite us in our compassion. Remove all fear from our hearts. Fill us with confidence in your care. Loving God, help us to focus on what we have, not on what is removed or changed. Strengthen us when we feel discouraged or overwhelmed. Embrace us, so that we know your loving presence within us and among us. Walk with us as we bring your love and carry your light into the world. It seems that I return to you most easily when I need comfort, O God. Lo, here I am again, knowing that you are waiting for me with love and warming light. Shadow of your wings, I find relief that renews my soul. Day and night, you are my refuge. Good and gracious God, my family and friends need tranquility and assurance. Help me to offer them your tenderness. Those in my community who are suffering need care. Help me to be generous and to keep contact with the forgotten. Your love is always there for us, and that you will never leave us, even in our darkest hour. May my prayers and support be with us all. I have come back to you again, Lord, and I return, knowing that your open arms will never fail. God of hope, may your love blanket the earth as you teach us to live more generously today than yesterday. Eternal God, gracious invitation today. Come to me, all who thirst. We come seeking to have our thirsting souls quenched with your presence as we join our hearts and voices together. Bring the burden to Jesus, God's disciples, where I say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
As we come into our last song of worship this morning, we have heard a message of forgiveness and grace and reconciliation. We've heard a message of being able to offer love in an extraordinary and extravagant way. Just as God offers us grace and love each and every day, we can offer that too, also to the world. One way we can share that love and that grace is through our prayers and our presence and our gifts and our service and our witness. And through this morning's offering, we seek to do that. So whether you choose to go online and to give generously from your hearts, maybe you go online and give through PayPal or through electronic giving, or maybe you give through the offering boxes at the hospitality table as you come forward, may your offering be a part of sharing love and grace to the world this day. So let us give with generous hearts.
Amen. Well, as we close our time together, I just wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, I want to acknowledge the presence of my grandfather, who is a retired United Methodist pastor. So he's here today. It's good to have you with us, Gramps. Thanks for being here. My grandfather's been a huge supporter of mine all the way through the United Methodist process, and so it's great that he's here. If you'd like to greet him after the service, I encourage you to do so by standing at least 6 feet apart, but you're welcome to say hi after the service. The second is that we have a quilt here, so I invite you to just extend your hands as we pray. Gracious and loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit on this quilt. We pray that you would feel your Holy Spirit's presence, and may this quilt be a source of your grace in her life. May it be an extension of the care and the compassion of this church, and may she know that there are folks here at Brighton that are praying for her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we depart from this place today, I pray that we would all be filled with God's grace through the Holy Spirit. It was good to receive communion with you all this morning. Communion isn't the kind of thing that it's just not the same when you do it by yourself at your own table. The very word communion is all about being together. It comes from the Latin in regards to being together. And so as we receive this bread and this juice this morning, I pray that even though we're socially distant, we are still one in the body of Christ. I pray that that is in some way a means of grace for you as you move through this week. As folks who have received grace, may you extend that grace to other people. As you depart from this place, may you go with the blessing of God, the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited to take part in this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of our community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn more or plan to visit us in person at one of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship.